Well, good morning, everyone. Once again, welcome to the Edgemere Church of Christ. We're so glad that you're here. I've got to say, I am always encouraged by the worship of this congregation. What a blessing it is. Well, I hope that everybody had a great Thanksgiving holiday, and I also hope that in the midst of all the family, food, and football, you also took time to give God thanks for all the blessings that He has given you. In fact, let's do that right now, and let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you again in prayer, and we just say thank you. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our King, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Redeemer. Thank you for the love and the grace and the mercy that you pour out on us each and every day. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and for the source of light and peace and hope that He is to us. Lord, we thank you for your word and what a blessing your word is to us. Your word comforts us, it convicts us, it guides us, it strengthens us. And so, Lord, I pray that you will open our hearts to hear your word this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for this church family. What a blessing it is to have this church family. What a blessing it is to be part of a group of people who can encourage one another and help each other. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you so much for all that you do for us. It's in Jesus' name that we praise. Together we say, amen. Well, one of the most iconic sporting events of the 20th century occurred in October 1974 when Muhammad Ali and George Foreman fought for the heavyweight title in a boxing match called the Rumble in the Jungle. It took place in Zaire, Africa, and legend has it that a few days before the fight, Muhammad Ali brazenly entered the gym where Foreman was training, and with a whole entourage of drummers and dancers, he introduced himself by banging on a set of drums and shouting, "The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!" As wild as it is to imagine, that scene is completely consistent with the brash boastfulness that Ali was known for. And his show of display was also consistent with how the kings of old would introduce their presence, which is why he did it. Ancient kings wanted you to know when they showed up. And so they announced their presence and they made an entrance with a large, ornate display of their royalty. And it was as if the accompanying musicians, dancers, and soldiers were all shouting, "The king is here! The king is here! The king is here!" And we've come to expect that kind of behavior from kings, presidents, and celebrities, haven't we? See, people of note make an entrance. People of note make a splash. People of note make flashy displays, and people of note enter with such pomp and circumstance that it can't be overlooked, which is precisely what makes the incarnation of Jesus Christ so puzzling. When God, through Jesus, came to be with us, He did so in the humblest of ways. He did it in a way that was completely the opposite of the way of earthly kings. But did you know that the way in which Jesus came is actually proof that He is the one true King? He's the Messiah. He is the Son of God. There was a reason why Jesus was born in the way that He was born. There was a reason why Jesus lived the way in which He lived and where He lived. There was a reason why Jesus did the things He did and said the things He said. There was a reason why He died in the manner in which He died. There was a reason for His resurrection. And all of the reasons why the story of Jesus unfolds the way it does gives us reason to believe that He is King. A great example of this is how Jesus fulfills the prophecies about the Messiah contained in the Hebrew Scriptures, our Old Testament. A conservative number of messianic prophecies fulfilled by Jesus is 324, but some scholars put that number at 570. But whichever number you go by, What's amazing is that even secular historians marvel that so many prophecies could be fulfilled by one man. There's so much evidence that Jesus fulfilled these messianic prophecies that it's really not even debated. What's debated is, what does it mean? But the fulfillment of these prophecies were signs that meant that the king had arrived, and he had arrived in a way that revealed his royal identity. One of the people who recognized Jesus' connection to these prophecies and interpreted its meaning correctly as a sign of Jesus being the King of Kings was a man named Zechariah. If you have your Bible or Bible app, go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 1. That's where we find his story, his prayer, or what we call his song. In Luke chapter 1, we read about Zechariah becoming the father of John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, and hearing the news of his wife's cousin Mary being pregnant with God's own son. Zechariah, being an Israelite priest, was able to connect the dots, and in Luke chapter 1, verses 68 through 79, he says this, "Praise be to the God, or to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." This prayer is known as Zechariah's song. And there's a few things that I want you to notice about this song. One is how the song is composed. Because you see, the way that this song is put together, it actually is showing us some important things about Jesus, but also about ourselves in Jesus. So the first part of Zechariah's song, the first part of this prayer, is praising God and thanking God that the Messiah is coming, that the King is on his way. And you see, Zechariah connected the dots, and so he knew what this meant. He knew that when the King arrives, salvation comes with him. And with salvation, there is redemption. What's interesting is Zechariah is actually helping us to see a fuller picture of salvation. Yes, he talks about salvation from our enemies, and that's how the Jewish people understood salvation. That's how they thought of the Messiah, that the Messiah would be one who would come and give them victory over their enemies, that he would release them from the grip of the enemy's hand. But of course, we know now that the Messiah brought a fuller picture of salvation. That it wasn't just freedom from enemies or freedom from oppression that he was offering. He was offering freedom from our greatest enemies. He was offering us freedom from the grip of sin and death. And so Zechariah knew that this salvation meant freedom, it meant redemption, but it also meant light and peace. But salvation also knew that when the King arrives, his presence is so powerful that it actually transforms you. It transforms the King's followers. Because one of the things that he says is that in verse 74, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear. And so there's something that happens to us that now we can serve the king without fear, but also we serve the king in holiness and in righteousness. And then Zechariah turns his thoughts to his own son, who's on his way as well. And what Zechariah says is that his son, who he named John, would be one who would prepare the way for the Messiah, that he would make Jesus known to all of those around him. And what's interesting about that is notice how Zechariah is defining John's life by Jesus' life. That John will serve the king. And John's life will be spent glorifying the king's life. Now there's a great lesson in there for us that we're going to get to here in just a minute. But that's one of the things I want you to see from Zechariah's song. The king is coming, and what that means is salvation is coming. That salvation transforms how we live our lives, and now we find our life in the life of the king. That the king redefines our lives. The king sets our purpose. The king sets our identity. And so, in Zechariah's song, we learn that as King, Jesus rules in a way that brings light and peace. To which New Testament professor David Bach adds this: if one asks why this king, sent by God, rules by being like the morning sun, it is because the way of life and the path of peace is not a matter of coercion or the controlling use of power. It is a matter of character. I want to repeat that line, make sure that we hear this. If one asks why this king sent by God rules by being like the morning sun, it's because the way of life and the path of peace is not a matter of coercion or the controlling use of power. It is a matter of character. Why else would the forerunner, John the Baptizer, preparing the way for God, address forgiveness of sin? Why else would the king who leads people out of darkness and death's shadow be compared to a light? Why else would a journey metaphor, the path of peace, be the picture of what it means to be redeemed? Though entry into it takes but a moment, salvation is not a momentary affair. It is a lifelong journey of the heart. A journey guided by one's allegiance to the morning star, who not only goes before us, but shows us that the way to reflect God is to refract his character in ever-growing ways. Jesus, as our King, leads us out of darkness and into light, out of discord and into peace. And as our King, he also models for us the kind of character we are to have. And when we put that together, what we see is this: as followers of the King of Light and King of Peace, we ought to be the kind of people who bring light into a dark world and who promote peace in a world of hate. And so I have to ask, are you doing that? Are your actions, your speech, your post online, the way you treat other people, is that bringing light into a dark world, shining the light of Christ? Is that promoting peace in a world filled with hatred, or is it just adding to the hatred that already exists in this fallen and broken world? Are we living in such a way that we are shining the light of Christ and promoting the peace of Christ? Because you see, when we do that, we act as the faithful presence of Christ in the world who allow those around us to see Jesus as the true King. One of the best ways to make Jesus known to others is through our transformed life. It's when we align our character and our will to the character and will of our King. When we do that, the Spirit of Christ transforms us, and we're able to shine light and promote peace so that people can see that there is something different about us. But of course, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And so when they ask what is different or why we're different, we just simply point them to the King and tell them why. But how do we do this? How do we live in such a way that we are shining the light of Christ to others? How do we live in such a way that we're promoting peace in this world of hate? Well, we've already seen part of the answer. And part of the answer is that we model ourselves after the King. And so we need to be reading the Gospels continually. We need to be reading the Jesus stories so that we can see what he did, so that we can hear what he says, so that we can see who he goes to and how he treats them, and then model ourselves after his example. That's really what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ means that we do what Jesus did, we say what Jesus said, and we love those whom Jesus loved. And so the second part of the answer to the question of how do we do this is actually seen in Jesus' birth. One of the things I love about the gospel is that it unfolds in such a way that it's actually teaching us how to share the gospel. And so in the birth of Jesus, we see Jesus coming in a humble way, but he's coming to be with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But the way that he comes tells us something about our God who is with us. The way Jesus comes, he comes to show that he is for everyone. He did not just come for the rich and the powerful. He did not just come for the people of note who announced their entrances. He came for people like you and me. He came for the poor. He came for those who the world considers unfavored. And he gives favor to everyone who comes to him. Jesus comes in a way that reveals that he is for all people, all races, all ethnicities, all people, wherever you are at on the socioeconomic ladder. Jesus is for you. And when you read of how he comes, it's hard to deny that. He came to serve. He came to bring peace. He came to bring salvation. And so, what we learn from how Jesus came is that one of the ways that we can be the presence of Christ in the world is to be with others. Through Jesus' birth, he is proclaiming that God is with us. And so, one of the ways that we can make Jesus known is to be with others. And so, incarnational ministry is a powerful force to promote peace and shine light in this world. What that means is we go into the world to make Jesus known. That we go to the unfavored of the world to help them see that their God loves them. We go to the poor. We go to the marginalized. We go to the sick. We go to those who are in prison. We go to those who feel oppressed in this world so that they can see the freedom that Christ offers them. We go to those whose lives have been wrecked by sin so that they can see that Jesus offers forgiveness of sin and a better way to live. We go into the world. One of the things I've been so impressed by about this congregation as I'm still getting to know you is I have been so impressed at how you go into your community and how you go throughout the world. You are living out the incarnational ministry of Jesus Christ, your King, and that is a wonderful thing. It's one of the things I love about this church family. And so, we must never forget why we're here, what our purpose is. Because you see, like John the Baptist, our lives have been redefined by the King. We exist to serve the King. Like John the Baptizer, we prepare the way for the King. We make Jesus known to others. We point people to Jesus so that they can experience the life of light and peace that we've experienced in Jesus. And as Logan said earlier, this season is a wonderful time to do that. The Christmas season provides a wonderful opportunity for us to talk to others about Jesus and to tell others that Jesus isn't just the reason for the season. He is the King of all seasons. And as King, He is able to lead us out of darkness and into light, out of sin and into salvation, out of separation with God and into peace with God. I want to read that again, but I want you to be thinking about someone you know who needs to experience this. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be a neighbor. It could be a coworker. It could be somebody on the other side of the world that you have some type of connection with, but I want you to think about who is someone you know who needs to hear this message that as King, Jesus is able to lead us out of darkness and into light, out of sin and into salvation, out of separation with God and into peace with God. Each of us knows someone who needs to hear that message. In fact, each of us need to hear that, don't we? Because each of us, we go through different seasons of our lives. Sometimes we go through seasons of great joy, where everything seems to just be going our way and everything seems to be going so well, but then we also go through those seasons where things aren't going quite as well as what we would like. And it's in those seasons that it's easy for us to forget God's presence in our lives, to forget that God is still with us. Even in the bad times, He is still right there with us. And so, the person you're thinking of might be yourself. That you need to remind yourself that as King, Jesus has come to lead you into light, out of darkness, and into peace. So this season, let's be mindful of how we are living. Let's be mindful of how we are treating others so that our very character, who we are, our way of being, and our way of relating is shouting to those around us, the King is here. The King is here. The King is here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we proclaim that the King is here. That the King has come. And because He has come, we have salvation. Because He has come, we have redemption from our suffering. Because He has come, we have peace, even in the midst of challenges. Because He has come, our lives are not the same. Because He has come, our lives are filled with meaning and purpose. Because He's come, we've got a job to do. Because He's come, we go into the world to tell others about Him. And Lord, I pray that you will be with this congregation, that you will help us to continue to be those who go into the world to let people know that God is with us. Let us be the presence of Christ in the lives of our friends and neighbors so that they can see that Jesus is with them and loves them and wants to give them hope. And Lord, our world is desperate for hope. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go through this season, that we'll be emboldened and encouraged to talk to others about Jesus, to invite them to come to church with us, to invite them into a conversation about Jesus. But Lord, more than anything else, I pray that we, the followers of Jesus, that we will be transformed in our character and so that we will live lives that point people to Jesus, to where we can be the presence of Jesus in this world so that people know that the King is here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, if you have any needs whatsoever, we are here to help you. If you want to be baptized into Christ today, we would love to be able to be part of that. But if you have any questions, any concerns, any prayer requests that you might want to share, the spiritual shepherds of this congregation will be waiting for you out in the lobby as we stand and sing together.